Hello and welcome to another edition of Basketball, the 50th edition of Basketball, that is. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today, Katie, before we get to our customary Rasheed Wallace note of the day, we have a guest to introduce, a wonderful guest, one of the kings of basketball blogging from the second arrangement, Steely Dan fan, and all-around wonderful dude. It's Kelly Dwyer. Kelly, what's going on, man?
50 episodes, guys. 50.
It's pretty nice.
It's wild.
It's nice. I can't believe we did it. We still have not done it in a normal basketball season yet.
I couldn't tell you what any of them were. I can't remember them.
We had the one with Sean Keane.
Sean Keane and the one where Ed Ames threw an axe into that cardboard or that wooden cutout of a cowboy, right, in the gentleman's vegetables. Yeah, there was that episode.
Yeah, how could I
there
forget?
There was the pie fight with Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds.
All of that 5-0. And more.
It's coming back.
Huge thanks to you, Kelly, for joining us on today's show. Today's show is, of course, brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2013 played his final NBA game, just 3 minutes off the bench for the New York Knicks before retiring a couple days later. Katie, I'll bring this to you first. It's now been 8 years since last we saw Rasheed Wallace on an NBA floor. How does that make you feel?
Pained. Eight years too long. No.
Happy.
And
very
how do
happy.
We always end up aligning these like extremely huge miles? Like we're never going to get to this height again.
We've nailed it in year one and the calendar will not be our friend from here on out. It'll just be random games against the Bucks from 2006 that we have to talk about from here on out. We've gotten his birthday, his single day with the Hawks, and now this. It's been a year. Kelly, how do you feel? Maybe happy. Were you a Rasheed Wallace guy? What are your feelings on 8 years without Rasheed?
No. Disliked him intensely. Was
you're
the
a Bulls
only
guy.
One.
That's right.
Nothing to do with the Bulls. It's just everything to do with my orthodoxy about throwing towels in teammates' faces during basketball games and stuff like that. Or not posting up as much as Kelly Dwyer would like. And then, you know, I wanted to name the blog On Hoops, and Jamie Montrum's like, no, man, that's a terrible name. It's too sedate. We're a blog. It's 2007. Let's get it right. It's called Ball Don't Lie. I'm like, but I hate Rasheed. And Jamie's like, nobody cares. This isn't about you. It's about a great name. So, yeah, good for him on the Knicks. You know, getting one last contract out of James Dolan. I appreciate that. That Knicks team was fun. It had 40-year-olds on it. It had Jason Kidd. It had Marcus Camby. It had Fish from Barney Miller. And I can't remember who else.
Just
Jason
a
Kidd's
team.
Son.
Actually, not
Raymond Felton was on that team.
Yeah, Raymond Kenyon Felton,
Martin was on that team.
38.
Mm-hmm. Amari
Kenyon
was
Martin,
on that
top
team.
Top overall draft pick with a broken leg.
Kurt Thomas was on that team. What a team. What a guest. Kelly, we're so happy to have you. We're going to dive into a whole bunch of stuff with you today on the show. Lots of headlines, some depressing headlines, frankly. Injuries, retirements, needing of inhalers to open up lungs after dealing with COVID. Some Mark Cuban stuff about the play-in tournament and all that terrible business. And also some fun stuff. We got Steph Curry doing some fun things and setting the all-time Warriors scoring record. We've got Anthony Edwards, not knowing who Alex Rodriguez is, really channeling the spirit of Katie Heindel, noted baseball hater. And then we have some fun games set up for the second and third segments of the show. In honor of it being the 50th episode of Basketball, we will be diving into a game called Famous 50s, where I am going to put Kelly and Katie through the ringer in a test of wits and basketball reference understanding. And we'll have some good times with that in the second segment. And then we're closing it out with an old classic, a spin on our Name That Tune / Team segment, this time with only Steely Dan songs, as you hear the subtle plucks of the guitar from Kelly Dwyer creep in as the ambient noise of the podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun with some Steely Dan songs in the final portion of the podcast and try to assign them to some NBA teams through Kelly, the noted Steely Dan aficionado that he is. We got our posters of the week. We got a whole bunch more. But before we get to that, Just a reminder, patreon.com/abasketballwith2h's is the place to go to sign up for bonus content. We do mailbag episodes once a month. We'll probably have one recorded in the next couple weeks here for you. So please get your questions in. And we also have our Discord chat. We have little fun events like trivia nights and things like that that you get access to when you're a part of our Patreon family. patreon.com/abasketballwith2h's. That's enough business off the top. Let's get to the headlines coming up in just 1 second. All right, it's the headline segment here on basketball. We'll start with some not so happy news in the NBA this week. Very little in terms of joy coming out of the league these days. It seems like everyone's kind of over this shit. And we're also seeing an uptick in injuries. And Jamal Murray is the person to start with. I think listeners to this podcast know, I think the Denver Nuggets are pretty cool. I think you'd be silly to not think the Denver Nuggets are pretty cool, unless you're like Kelly and go against the grain and dislike cool things like Rasheed Wallace, which is fine. You can do that. That's not a problem. But Jamal Murray tore his ACL this week in a game for the Nuggets, just as the Nuggets were laying waste to every team they were coming across, and now their title chances seem to be dashed for now. Katie, I'll let you start with this. What was your reaction to the Jamal Murray injury? I'm assuming a very sad reaction was had. This sucks ass.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, and it's just like more of the same kind of shit that we've been seeing. I did have an exchange with, I won't reveal him, but a doctor I did talk to for the stories that I wrote about this, and he said, quote, "At least they're starting to have awareness of the fact that players are squeezed like lemons," which I thought... was true and depressing, but I don't know. It's a bummer, man. Like the worst part of like this, well, no, the worst part of the injury is the injury for Jamal Murray. But in like watching this happen, I was reminded of like how close of footage I had watched the earlier ACL injuries this season. And just that split second when a guy knows what's happened and then hits the floor and is just so out of their body with pain, it just like it makes you sick, and it made me just feel like what are we doing?
Yep. Katie, any Jamal Murray?
We're trying to avenge that Celtics loss in 2/3 of a way through a season that no one's gonna remember in a year and a half, but for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's hideous. I mean, these people they're replaced every 6 years by other basketball players, but not by other people. And we've now lost 2 years of Jamal Murray's life because the Denver Nuggets staff couldn't tell the guy, no, I'm left to presume players want to play. And we all learned in the lockout. I was especially made wise of it by Stefan Bondi. When it's fatigue, when you play too much and the inflamed things around your really special thing can't take the brunt like they usually do, the special thing is going to take the brunt. And yeah, now that as Katie said, he knew right away, and then the doctors know right away because they can feel it, which is still insane to me. We're shoveling 15 where 13 used to go, and battering them on Twitter and destroying them at 4:30 in the afternoon on cable TV and hammering them on podcasts. And it's remarkable that we find out that we're squeezing the lemon, but it's like 2021. It's 2021. And like everything else in my life, I feel guilty for not banging this drum in the last century. But also, I didn't think he'd be playing that game. Mm-hmm. I didn't think any of these guys would be playing. I didn't think they'd be playing these. I thought it'd be it's going to take a get together, and I don't know who's going to be in favor of it. And I don't know who's going to get in the way, and I don't know how long it's going to take. And in the meantime, there's a 15-year-old that's going to suffer from the same thing 6 years from now. And it makes you sick to support it.
Yeah, man. I think you're kind of echoing a lot of the feelings we've had all season long. it's gross. It's like we're watching it for our jobs mostly, but I think it's certainly, you know, the way they've kind of conducted business this year, it's changed the way we think about the league, probably irreparably going forward. And it is tough to kind of come up with solutions too, because the players collectively bargained all this too. Like, they didn't need to start the season in December. They didn't need to maximize the games for TV. And, you know, it's hard to say, like, with the power dynamics where, you know, the players' power kind of runs out, and are they being coerced into playing and all that? Are they just kind of settling because, you know, they have less inherent power than the owners do? But, like, there's parties involved on all sides here, and I don't really know where you're going to find the solutions. I mean, maybe this is just like a one-year sort of bottled up shit season where, you know, they'll learn and then they go forward and it's just a regular schedule going forward. But it shouldn't have taken all of these things that we could have foreseen from the start: the uptick in injury, the exhaustion, the no teams ever having their full complement of players any single night because everyone's tired or out with COVID or injured or on the brink of being injured. And so being rested, it all was predictable, and the NBA just fucking trudged on along anyway. And I guess this kind of leads into the Jason Tatum stuff too, talking about how he's been using an inhaler before games recently to open his lungs up, and has been using it since he returned from having COVID, which was near the start of this season, and it's still going on for him. And I think kind of, again, speaks to, we don't know shit about this damn virus and what it does to you long term. Katie, the Tatum thing, I had imagined kind of hit a similar way as the Jamal Murray and all the injury stuff has. Obviously, he's not out for any significant period of time, but it's fucking scary. It sucks. I don't know, like, how the NBA is just like, okay, let's just, I mean, I guess they're pot committed now, so they just keep on rolling through, but there's been any sort of example of contrition, no sort of acknowledgement that they fucked up here. It's pretty unforgivable.
Well, to acknowledge, like, acknowledge it would be to some degree acknowledging culpability. And I think, like, the way they kind of rolled this season off, you know, when they took out the little, like, stoppers from under their wheels of this thing going downhill, was like, it can't stop. You know, any acknowledgement is basically pointing the finger back at themselves. And I don't think they can really do that until they steamroll to the end of the season. And then they'll say, you know, like, we'll take these learnings and we'll probably go ahead into next season and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Tatum didn't have to disclose that. I'm glad that he did, but I'm sure there's also a certain amount of pressure, because, like, what I've been thinking about more and more is, are there going to be, and can there be, like, almost like things built into their contracts going forward where, like, it's not his fault that he got COVID, but this is definitely going to affect his gameplay down the road. Like, these are just things you would not have had to consider in any other season, or probably maybe even this season if things had been handled a lot better, you know. But, like, now how does that shake out for him in the, like, next few years of his career? Like, he's also at his, like, physical peak. He's a player in, like, that most percentile of, like, how his body should be responding to this virus. So it's just, like, a whole mess that I think the league did not anticipate it would be wading so deeply into, or maybe it did. I mean, to Kelly's point earlier, I think, and to your point too, Sean, like, when we talk about players collectively bargaining for this season, I think they also imagined there would be some built-in protections, perhaps with the trainers and the people that are tasked to look after them. You know, like Kelly said, like, they let Murray play, and his knee had been bothering him for months. And, you know, when you also look at the stories, that it's like, okay, because a lot of trainers have been tasked with being, like, COVID compliance officers for teams. So they're shouldering two different jobs, right? And essentially it's like, could a lot of this shit been avoided if someone new had been brought in to take on that very important role? And then so trainers could just, you know, focus on players like they should be doing. So there's a lot of protections, I think, that players probably anticipated having on their side when they agreed to go ahead with the season, that they've now just kind of seen thrown by the wayside.
Yeah. Kelly, I want to ask you this, because I don't know if there's anyone who I regularly read who sort of likes basketball as much as you, or at least like sort of get the feeling that you just, like, you love it, man, and you write about it as such. And I'm curious, we've asked kind of every guest we've had this year, just sort of everyone's personal way about which they've gone, you know, digesting this season, and, you know, are they compartmentalizing and all that and finding ways to derive joy. Like, how's it been for you? Like, writing about this shit every day in the way that you typically do, you know, have you been able to derive any sort of enjoyment from it, or is it all kind of just like a running stream of feeling guilty for kind of leaning into and supporting it? Because I know that's kind of how I've been feeling about it.
I mean, if I weren't digging it, I wouldn't write about it. I'd stop.
Fair.
If memories are all I bring, I'd rather drive a truck. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the finest night of my life every time I tune in. It all goes away. It really does. It's all gone as soon as stuff gets going, because as it's always been, I'm on the court with them. Oh, I know why you did that. Oh, I saw what you're trying to do. And then that guy jumped. Yeah. I do the same thing. I would make that same decision, Kevin Durant. It all happens again. It all starts over. And with every game, if I did not feel like writing about, you know, I guess the Hawks are good now, a Timberwolves versus Timberwolves game, I wouldn't write about it. But there's mm-hmm. so many fascinating matchups each night. For instance, you have Karl Anthony Towns going against Karl Anthony Towns in this particular game that I just made up. No, it hasn't dimmed it one iota. So that maybe speaks to my Irish Catholic sense of compartmentalization. I don't know what it is, but I'm aflame as always. And if I weren't, I would not be touching it. I would be not mm-hmm. as a statement. It's just how it's always been with me. If it's not ready to go out, it's not going out.
Right. And hey, like I've been finding that with the Raptors season in particular, even if it's dog shit and they've gone through hell. You know, we just, Katie and I just did a Raptors podcast talking about how much we enjoyed last night's game, where you're seeing like development and, you know, signs of the future and all of that. And it does kind of hypnotize you. I mean, shit, I watched Luka Doncic throw in a floater for a game winning 3-point buzzer beater last night. And it was the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen. And it does really like rope you back in that way. You know, I found myself a little bit more disaffected, I think, just because I'm upset with the product and the lack of available players seemingly every single night. But you're right. Like, there's still those little flashes. There's like, oh, yeah, no, that's why this is cool and good. And I mean, I don't know, man. It's gotten to the point where it's almost just like acceptance, I suppose, that nothing is going to feel all that good about how this season's carrying out. And it's just kind of hope that next season will leave all of the badness of this year behind. But it's certainly difficult to do that compartmentalization at the moment.
That's called a coping mechanism, Sean.
Yeah, probably.
That level
yeah.
of day-to-day apathy.
Well, along those lines, can we also remind everyone that however the heck they're handling this is 100% spot on and correct and good for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even if
yeah. totally.
You're not listening to anything, however you're dealing with it, cats and kittens out there, it's just fine. Whatever you feel is fine. It's a sport or it's not a sport, or however you want to deal with it. For me, it's a sickness. Okay. Don't follow me. Don't follow me. Stray from me. Take me in doses. That's why I only post like 3 times a week. Okay. You gotta have a little bit of Kelly. All right. But however, if you feel icky about it, but then you're still wearing the shirt, however you feel like you're a hypocrite and a weirdo and wrong. And you're right. You're right. You're with us right now. So you are correct.
Well said, man.
That's a
we
nice
got a couple more news
to just have like on the daily.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I might just cut that part of the podcast and make it my morning alarm going forward. Mm-hmm. We a couple more notes to get to another upsetting one. Frankly, LaMarcus Aldridge, just before we started recording, announced his retirement. An irregular heartbeat was deemed the reason why he's stepping aside. Scary stuff, obviously. We've seen similar things with Chris Bosh in the past and others. Katie, LaMarcus Aldridge, thoughts, feelings, lovely career, fun guy, cool teams he was on. This is a really shitty way for it to end.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but he's got to listen to his body, man. I really respect It's like the only thing he could really do. It is a bummer, though, because I had been curious to see how he was going to be, you know, after signing this deal. But I don't know. It's sad, but you can't really say anything else about it. And I hope people don't.
Yeah. Still reflecting upon his career is fun. I mean, especially as a Raptors fan who he was taken right after Bargs. There's a lot of sort of what if potential with him a little bit too. But those Blazers teams he was on, super cool. Sad they broke up. And, you know, obviously he pursued what he wanted to do in San Antonio. But part of me wishes those Blazers teams had never had the fire burn out. Kelly, what was your reaction to the LMA news this morning? It's fucking sad. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, brief sadness, and then it goes. I do, but you know, he had to deal with the whole Kawhi on the foot situation. So I mean, I think this ranks pretty low. Because I mean, he could see he knew what was up. Dude knew what was up. He was not going to be a big part of it down the stretch, but in the regular season, he was going to help sop up minutes, and that he's going to have the time of his life and shoot two pointers with Blake Griffin and squeeze passes into. It's a drag, but you know, what a career. What an absolute career. Was the toast of one of the best, if not the best, basketball cities in the world. And you know, got to throw his weight around in a free agent market, which you know, not you only get one of those a year, and he was that guy. So good for him. Everyone should be celebrated and treated to overtures from Mitch Kupchak and such. Yeah, drag he's not gonna go on, but you know, happy. He's with us, and maybe it'll, you know, maybe there are other players out there that wondering if they don't need a buyout or a trade to get a physical, to wonder if there's something there. I mean, I'm all good from here on out.
Yeah. On the note of him throwing his weight around in free agency, before, like, you know, the Raptors won the championship and stuff, one of the highlights of Raptors fandom for a very, very long time was the day LaMarcus Aldridge decided to meet with the Raptors and nothing else. That was a beautiful, hopeful day that led to nothing, obviously, but it was quite cool. Also, shout out to 18 footers from Big Men. I don't know how many more guys exist who are going to keep pouring those in. One of my favorite types of shots, the Chris Bosh, LaMarcus Aldridge milieu. Going to miss that sort of, you know, counter to the rest of the NBA's obsession with shot quality. So shout out to LaMarcus Aldridge, good ass player on some cool ass teams. Yes, please.
A story about the Bulls. Bulls had the second pick in that draft. They should have taken him. Mm-hmm. The story on him on Sports Talk Radio that he was weak. He was why was he just, you know, he's softy, big Brad Doherty, soft. So the Bulls take him out to a pre-draft dinner with John Paxson and Scott Skiles. Scott Skiles stares at LMA wordlessly. This is a 20-year-old man. And a Scott Skiles old man just stares at him wordlessly until, I don't know, drinks come, bread comes. Do we want to try a starter tonight? I don't know how long, but it immediately made the Chicago papers, and everyone was like, okay, we'll see how this works out. And it didn't work out. Didn't work out for Chicago.
Stared at him. Is that still Garpax?
Garpax involved in that? Been there since Jordan got out of town was when he weaseled his way in there. And that was mostly a Paxson and Skiles. The table was full of assist to turnover ratio that night.
I feel like that's how I'm going to communicate going forward after we get out, Sean, after we get back on the outside.
Sure. Yeah, that works.
Just staring at people because I forgot how to talk.
I can feel that energy.
I feel like Katie wants to do that most of the time I speak and throw to her on the podcast. So, yeah, it would be fitting. We will continue on here. A couple of notes. Steph Curry broke Wilt Chamberlain's all-time Warriors scoring record. Katie, you had particularly fond of Klay Thompson's work.
I should point out that our friend Joey pointed this out to me because he had asked if I had seen this yet, but I hadn't. Mm-hmm. But I guess when Steph passed this record and then later someone was like, what'd Klay say to you? Because I guess, you know, everyone thought, oh, Klay must have come up to him at post game to congratulate him. But Klay just came up to talk to him about something completely unrelated, probably ocean kayaking is my guess. But when Steph was walking away, apparently Klay yelled at him. Oh, yeah. Hey, Steph, congrats. Just more power to like the Klay of this season, who I love so much.
Is he going to continue his streak of being the poster of the week, Katie? Is that the surprise?
Wait for the segment, man.
I was trying to get the spoiler. I was trying to get the tease. That's fine. Yeah, shout out to Steph. Will Chamberlain, surprised he was still holding that record. Kelly, feelings on Steph Curry passing Wilt as the all-time.
I hit the mute button, or so I thought, and then I blew my nose and I look over to stop a sneeze, and I look over and it was giving me all my options in case I wanted to right click on the mute button instead of just muting as I thought it was. I was like, here, do you want to email this to your parents or do you want to mute yourself on a podcast before you take your Townsend nose? How do I feel about Klay Thompson treating him? That's a coworker move, right? That's like, you, what do you know best about your coworkers? Not their most prominent thing, not how many kids they have or how actually old they are or what their actual last name is. You just know what you were talking about last that was the funniest thing in the world. And oh, by, you know, whether that was a week ago or earlier this afternoon. And oh, by the way, congratulations. I heard, you know, you have three kids now. Yeah, that's fantastic. And the Wilt still had it. Yeah, as a fan growing up, as a kid, the Warriors were always our second favorite team because they always seemed to have these fascinating players that were on SportsCenter and you'd see them while you're eating your Wheaties and that was it because they were on 10:30 at night and, you know, a million miles away. But they always seemed to, like, fracture their thumb. Any number of these four people, Weber, Hardaway, Mullen, you know, Richmond, all fractured thumbs and at some point some torn ACLs. And so it makes sense that, you know, no one stacked them long enough to top. But yeah, Wilt's got a lot of stuff out there. They, speaking of making him play every day, they really and he was okay with it. He was okay. Sure, I'll play in Madison Square Garden 18 times a year in this month because there's only six teams. Yeah, so congratulations, Steph.
Yeah. The Warriors always have, this feels like it was Monte Ellis's record to have, and that's how I feel about it. It's a bit of a shame. Last thing here in the headlines, Anthony Edwards hates baseball, doesn't know who Alex Rodriguez is. Katie, I'm sure this particularly appeals to you.
Good for him. I mean, it's fine, but the funniest thing to me was people reacting to it being like, this is so, or like being like, I'm so endeared by him. Like, this is so cute. But it's like, no, it's not. Like, why does it have to be cute if he doesn't know who the guy is? Not everybody's going to know who the guy is. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think he actually hates baseball. I just claimed that for my own personal.
I know that. Yeah, absolutely.
Framing, but yeah.
Kelly, I feel like Anthony Edwards is an extremely Kelly Dwyer player. Are you enjoying his exploits here in year one?
Whoa, please sign to a 20-year contract in my life, please. On and off court. What a delight. I mean, first of all, he came out and made 18 trillion amazing moves in his first month in office, and none of them went in. He was like the king of the amazing blown layup. And he's just a wonderfully endearing person who takes delight in this entire process. And yeah, if you watch that other clip that's going around with him and their sideline journalist in Minnesota, I don't know her name. He's talking about how he played all the prominent positions in high school in baseball. He loves baseball, guys. He does. He loves baseball. But also, like, who's Mike Trout? Like, who's Alex Rodriguez? Who's John Dol Spindleton?
Right.
I don't know. I know everything about my favorite baseball team's AAA team. I don't know who the Milwaukee Brewers are. I don't know who the Yankees are. It's all your favorite thing. It's all what you do. And also, Katie, please don't be upset at baseball just because Twitter gets a third less more distracted by these dumb things. Sometimes the nacho bomb hits. Sometimes the nacho bomb hits. Home run, big dinger, big swatter, right into those pickled jalapenos.
Look, I'll admit it, I've had decent times at baseball games. I don't mind sitting around in the sun, staring at something, like having a cold drink. That's a nice activity. It's just like the longevity of it and, I don't know, certain amount of preciousness around it sometimes. Anyway.
Well, you don't need to feed into the preciousness. You can hope for your own new form of baseball, Katie.
And the season, frankly, the season goes on too long. It's never not happening. I think it just doesn't happen for 1 month of the year, and that's my reprieve.
You're talking about the features, not bugs here,
I think
here,
you're
Katie.
The only person in the world who is crediting like NFL-styled omnipresence to Major League Baseball, the sport where we can't name who won. I don't know who won. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Dodgers. Okay. That's because I think I recently looked it up to go, who won the thing that happened 4 months ago?
We'll get you converted to baseball. Yet,
No, it'll don't. Happen. It's pastoral and dumb. It's a hideous waste of time. You can walk from one end of your house to the other in between times it takes them to adjust before they throw the ball to the guy who just stares at it. It's okay. It's to despise it at your very core and wonder why it's just always on.
The amount of rules, that's a good riff. I like that. Also, the amount of rules in baseball and like very mathematical rules and some rules where I feel like go in hand with like old town rules where it's like you can't be standing on this corner at dusk on like the third week in like autumn. Like that's what I feel like some baseball rules are.
It's all left-hander superstitions.
I will fight on that. What's the deal with this rosin?
Mary
bag?
And Irish on this second base, lest you see your way to third place.
Maybe baseball's dumb. We'll continue on into our second segment, Leave the Headlines Behind. And I'm going to play a game with Katie and Kelly and pit them against one another in a battle of basketball knowledge. That's coming up in just 1 second. All right, we continue on here, and now is the time for me to do one of my favorite things on this podcast, which has become the authoritarian game show master. I always like
so
doing this with Katie.
You're so mean when you do game.
Why did you take the
well,
mic
usually
off the
you're.
I mean, I do like the sport coat, but you know, wow, okay, cool. You clean up quick.
But yeah, Katie, usually you are the lone subject of my game show. So I'm hoping that you have having a partner in this will make it a little bit.
You just
bit
said you're pitting us against one another.
Yeah. But like you can, you know, connect and unite in your shared contempt for me.
He just
the game
presumes
show
our teamwork
that
is going to drive us apart. And I mean, let's not put anything past anything.
Let's not. So yeah, the segment is called Famous 50s, and it's on honor, of course, of this being our 50th episode of the podcast. How this is going to work, I have the list of NBA players who have worn the number 50 in front of me. It is 120 players long. I have chosen 5 players from this list, and we'll go through one at a time for each player. I'm going to have their basketball references pages up, and you two will go back and forth and try to ask questions to ascertain which player is the topic of each round. Whoever guesses the player first, after you make a guess for or ask for a clue from Basketball Reference, I'll give it to you. Then you have a chance to guess. And of course, after more questions are asked, more clues will be available, and you will get the chance to guess correctly who it is. But does this make any sense? Whoever gets the most right wins. Does that sound fair?
5-0.
Sure, man.
Great. All right. So we will start off with a lovely number 50. We'll let Kelly go first because he's the guest. Kelly, ask me for a clue from the basketball reference page. That is not what is the player's name.
The only 50 that I can think of off the top of my head is this one person. So I'm going to go. Did he attend the Naval Academy? Is that the style of question?
Did he attend the Naval Academy? No. sure, but he did not attend the Naval Academy. So that doesn't help you.
Oh, okay.
You want to throw it an erroneous guess for number 50, or should we move to Katie?
Let's see. Move to Katie. Sorry.
Okay, Katie, you gotta ask me for a clue here.
Have they taken up this number recently?
Not since 2000-2001. That was their last year played in the NBA.
Oh, did you already say they are not playing?
There's a collection. Actually, all of these guys are retired, so or not in the NBA.
Oh, come on. There's only 150 that is worth talking about, and you didn't even include him.
Who, Aaron Gordon?
Yes, the guilt 50.
We had a whole segment on that last week, so I figured we could leave that in the past. Fine. Don't worry, these are still notable guys from NBA history. You'll know all of them.
Apparently not.
You have a guess?
You got to go back to Kelly. I don't have a guess.
All right, Kelly, that's for the clue.
I'm horrible with numbers. I'm the worst with, like, Klay Thompson's number. Sure, I know that. Oh, yes, may I have a clue, please? Is it 15?
Yeah, yeah. What do you want to know?
Oh.
Anything.
Sorry. What team did he play for in 2001?
He played for the Vancouver Grizzlies in 2001.
Is it Tony Massenburg?
It is not Tony Massenburg, but a good guess. Katie, we'll go back to you.
Oh. I don't know, man.
There's lots of things you can guess from here. There's height, there's weight, there's jersey number, there's accolades, there's years played, there's nicknames.
The jersey number is the thing I don't have to guess.
Oh, I got it. Okay,
yeah, that's okay. Right. We have that taken care of. Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask another very specific question from his BREF mm-hmm. page?
Sure.
Does this sure. young man have a mustache in his photo and or 90s goatee?
He has a goatee, yes. Do you want to throw a guess?
Oh, no, I didn't. That was me interrupting Katie, so that, no.
Oh, okay. Katie, throw a guess if you want.
Vancouver Grizzlies. Are you going to tell us first name? Can we ask you?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm not going to give you the name. I'll give you the nickname if you ask that.
Okay, what's the nickname?
Big Country.
Oh, I know the nickname. Fuck.
Big Country, Vancouver Grizzlies.
I love the song, too, and the band.
Has a goatee. Yep.
Mm. And the single. The classic triptych. Big Country. It's the lead single off of Big
Country.
Dude,
I don't know. I'll pass.
All right, KD, you got a chance to guess here. Do you know the clue or do you got it?
That's Bryant Reeves.
It is Brian Reeves. That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. 1-0 for Kelly. We'll go to the next one.
1-0
Katie,
for
you
us.
Get to ask the first
1-0
clue here.
1-0 for us. We are fighting you.
Yeah, it's us versus Sean at this point.
Okay, sure. If we want to change the scoring arrangement,
we're not taking up against one another.
All right. All right. We got another guy here. The number 50. Katie, you can ask first.
What was the last team they played for?
The New Orleans Pelicans in 2017-18.
Okay. I don't know, but that's recent.
You gonna throw a guess or no?
No, I said I don't know. I don't know yet.
Okay. All right. Kelly, ask for a clue.
Who drafted him?
He was drafted by the Charlotte Bobcats, 2004.
Thank you.
Got a guess?
Is it Bob Tellins?
It is not.
Okay. I made that name up.
Katie, you get to ask for a clue now.
Do they share a last name with someone else in the NBA?
They do. I think that guy's the other guy's the recent NBA player he shares a last name with, yes.
Is it Emeka Okafor?
It is Emeka Okafor, correct.
Nice.
It's 2-0 for you guys. I don't really know if there's a mechanism by which I win this if we're doing it you two against me, but that's fine.
We beat your ass.
Emeka Okafor, the score between the two of you is 1-1, if we're keeping track of that as well simultaneously. We'll move on to the next player here. KD, you can go first. Ask for a clue, please.
What was the last year that they played and for which team, please?
The Los Angeles Lakers in 2010-11.
I passed
any
to Katie.
Guess? Katie, what do you got?
When, Kelly just literally asked that. Who drafted them?
Drafted by the Detroit Pistons in 1995.
Okay. I have no guess.
Okay. Back to you, Kelly.
Is it Theo Ratliff?
Oh my God, it's Theo Ratliff. Holy shit. Good job.
Forever Laker.
Wow.
If you go out to LA, there's murals of him all over the place. Sitting on the bench.
Yeah, Wow, I'm blown away. 2-1, Kelly. 3-0 for you two against me. Good job.
He was drafted by Detroit in 95, and then he, in his press conference, he gave away that he's like, yeah, and I hear we're getting Otis Thorpe, which is going to be great. And Doug Collins was like trying to stop him as because he can't really announce that trade until July 1st, and it's June 26th. But welcome to the NBA, Theo Ratliff. Do you know what a podcast is?
We'll continue on. We got two guys left. Katie, you can take the first hack at the fourth guy I have here.
Zach Randolph.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yep.
Oh. Yeah. 5-0.
It is Zach Randolph. You're correct. Wow.
I was thinking of him the other day because I just remembered that he wore that number and I was like, you know, this is recent and it feels like it's in Sean's wheelhouse. This is a bit eerie though, because I think it speaks more to like spending so much quote time with you.
Yeah, it's too much, I think. And I wasn't even going to, I almost clicked on the other number 50 here as well. I just happened to click on his tab at the last moment. And
I miss
apparently
Zach
you had
Randolph,
a vision.
Man.
I
yeah,
do
what
too.
A like sweet
so
face.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we're destroying you with this game, Sean.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Kelly, do you have stories of when he was drafted?
He was the last in high school, the last, I don't know what they call it, but like the idea in Hoosiers where they any team can win the high school tourney because everyone gets to play in the same tournament. His team was the winner of that last particular tournament before they moved on to some form of class system that I'd paid just as much attention to. I was like, whoever's he puts up like, we knew about per minute stats back in 2001. I watched that draft in the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And boy, I hope this podcast doesn't get to North Carolina because I may owe someone some money. Yeah, Zach Randolph.
We're geo-blocked in North Carolina, don't worry. Yeah, we move on to the final number 50 here. It's 2-2, correct? Or, yeah, it's 2-2. So whoever gets this one is going to win the game.
Ring
yeah,
master.
Yeah, no, I'm right. It's 2-2. I got a number 50 up. And Kelly, you get to throw the first clue question out there.
I'm going to go with draft. What year was he drafted and by what team? And if it's a trade?
He was drafted in 2000.
And if it ends up being a trade right away, that's okay. That's okay. No, that's okay.
Sure, sure. I can confirm. But no, he was just drafted straight up by the Indiana Pacers in 2009.
Whoa. Was it Tyler Hansbrough?
Oh, my God. You're too good at this game, you guys. Tyler Hansbrough's correct.
Shout out to Speed.
I was going to ask Dwyer. If he was ever a Raptor.
I picked too easy of players. I should have picked Bimbo Coles, perhaps, instead.
You mean Vernell Ufaze? Quotation marks Bimbo Coles? Vernell Ufaze Bimbo Coles. Finest name in NBA history.
Yeah, that's...
I miss Psycho T deeply.
Yeah, same. Would have been
we
the best center
Psycho
on the Raptors
T coming
this
off
year,
the
that's
bench
for sure.
This season. Honestly, we could have used him. A lot of chaotic energy, just throwing everybody off at all times.
Among other famous 50s in NBA history include Popeye Jones, Irvin Johnson, not Magic, just the big man who played for the Wolves and stuff. Ryan Hollins, of course. Dan Gadzurich was a 50 for a very long time. We got a nice collection of 50s. Cole Anthony currently holding it down for 50s in the NBA.
Wow.
Good stuff. What do you mean? You got a problem with Cole Anthony?
I mean, his dad was a young Republican, so I think I'm holding that against him.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right, Cole Anthony's canceled, baby. All right, we're going to move on into another game-style segment to close things off here after I got my ass handed to me by with the famous 50s game. And there will be no winners except for everybody in the final segment as we dig into a special Steely Dan edition of Name That Tune / Team that we're calling... Reeling in the Eastern and Western Conferences. That's coming up in just 1 second. All right, we are here to close out today's episode with, as promised, a riff on the very fun segment that we do all the time where we play songs and then assign NBA teams to them that I think we call Name That Tune / Team. It's a very inelegant name. Reeling in the Eastern and Western Conferences is much better. Thank you to Katie Heindel for naming that in our rundown here. And it's the same game, except we're doing it with Steely Dan songs because, of course, Kelly Dwyer is the world's foremost Steely Dan appreciator and, of course, has the second arrangement, his wonderful basketball newsletter named after a Steely Dan song. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play five Steely Dan songs, Kelly, and you're going to help tell us which team they most represent in today's NBA, could be past NBA. I trust you will be able to do this quite easily, considering your
It'll
understanding
be just people I know.
Of the catalog. Yeah, perfectly. So here we go. The first song here, producer Dylan, take it away. Reeling in the Years by Steely Dan, the namesake of this segment, Kelly Dwyer. What song, what NBA team is most represented by Reeling in the Years?
So it's a pretty basic put-down song, just your typical Dylan-y, you know, let's not say anti-woman, but, you know, it just happens that the character we're screaming at here and is, you know, sniveling at is a woman. But it's a you know, I'll look at you. You kind of got ahead of yourself there, and now you're, you know, you passed your prime early. You passed your prime. Everything's in the path.
Is that what the song is about?
Yeah, just a guy chiding,
shaming a woman for aging. Oh my God!
No, not for aging. For just thinking she was a hipster ahead of the game, and now her okay. You know, think it's very Highway 66. I don't know. I'm not good with song titles. I'm terrible at them, and it's probably because all Dylan song titles are like, this song's about a woman. It's called Sign on the Highway that says Brill Cream. And so I don't know. It's all very Dylan-y. The name of their first album is named after a Dylan lyric. It's a fantastic song and a killer guitar solo by Elliot Randall. I mean, who's flaming out at 21, though? Who's done with right now? That's out there. We're moving on. They were young. They were great. They were hip. Maybe Atlanta early in the year when we got ahead of ourselves. See, my impulse as a sad Chicago Bulls fan is just to say Chicago for every one of these teams. I just want to say Chicago just traded for a 30-something all-star, and we're not going to have picks moving forward. And we thought it was a great idea at the time, and it sounded great. And geez, in March, we looked great, okay? First time we went out after that trade, we looked incredible. So, I mean, I maybe, okay, let's just say this year, Chicago Bulls.
I like it. Katie, are you worried about the Toronto Raptors, the powerhouse Toronto Raptors, chasing down the Bulls to get into the play-in tournament?
Man, I'm worried about the Wizards chasing down the Bulls. I'm worried about Cleveland putting something together based off that Spurs win. I'm worried about the Lakers and I'm worried who's ahead in the tops in the West that I'm in. I'm worried about them jumping up in the newspaper bracket to jump up to the Eastern Conference to pass the Bulls because their two all-stars are scared to pass to one another, take shots in front of one another. They need to get up from the bar and go to the bathroom at the same time and then come back to the table. And then after that, the Bulls will be fine.
Beautiful. Katie, do you have any thoughts on this as well? I know you're also a Steely Dan appreciator, maybe not to the degree that Kelly is. Certainly more than I am, as I am just
I've
heard the hits kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you okay with the Bulls comparison here? Do you have a different suggestion, perhaps?
Premature aging. That's what we're saying. No, I think the Bulls actually make sense even, unfortunately, before this season. It's like a team that's always been, like, it's been young. They've been young for, like, 6 years, it feels like, and that's impossible. Yeah. You can't stay young like that, but that's how it feels like, and they're always on the precipice of getting there. So, yeah.
Outstanding. We move on to song number two. Producer Dylan, take it away.
and I run to the second arrangement. It's only the natural thing. Rue stepped out with no regrets. A sparkling conscience, a new address.
The second arrangement, of course, the name of Kelly's wonderful basketball newsletter, which you should be paying for right now. Kelly, which NBA team is most like the second arrangement?
Oh, man, that's such a sad sounding song, isn't it?
It really is.
Perfectly crisp, sad sounding song. It's haunted me my entire life, and not because the backstory is so cool. For those that don't know, this is where they were entrusted a young engineer to make a copy of all the tunes on this here album they were making. And for some reason on this song, he loaded the reel wrong. And this fellow was reeling in the snores and slept his way through the song literally being erased. And then the brokenhearted tried to come up with different versions of it. That may have been a, I'm not as familiar, but that may have been a bootleg that they made after, which may explain the double sadness. The tune literally in itself is it just a very typical Steely Dan tale of woe and a gentleman moving on after with much fanfare and much feeling sorry for himself to what he thinks are greener pastures. He's taking his life and laundry in a Gladstone bag and getting out of here. And I mean, it's pretty lame, but we're doing sports. So the obvious thing that comes to mind is maybe Dr. Morey moving out of Philadelphia and not thinking twice as he packs up the two-seater roadster and heads northeast.
I like that. I was going to maybe posit that this kind of sounds like a Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn type of situation.
Absolutely.
You know, the sort of the muddled, you know, is that championship even real thing with the Warriors? The lyric, run to the second arrangement, the home of a mutual friend, the Kyrie Irving being the mutual friend, of course. Maybe that's a little bit too on the nose. I'm not sure, but I think both definitely hold up. Katie, do you have a thought here?
I like the visual of Morey packing up the little car and probably listening to this song as he does it. So that's my vote.
Excellent. We move on then to song number three. This one is a banger. Dylan, take it away.
Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee. So you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free.
Dirty Work by Steely Dan, of course. KD. What do you got here for an NBA team that embodies the spirit of dirty work?
Another lyrical put down. Again, coincidentally, toward a woman.
But I will say the song, probably, I don't know if you feel this way and I wouldn't put this on you, but I do find the cover by the Pointer Sisters of this song to be, I enjoy it a little bit more. But in there, they turn the tables. It's directed towards a dude.
Can we talk about the Pointer Sisters for a second?
Of course, always.
First of all, sure. They have obviously a string of albums that you can seriously, cats, wherever you're at, whatever town you're at, you can get a string of Pointer Sisters albums, cheap LPs that you can play on your whatever, super cheap, 70s stuff, 80s stuff. Every single album is a quality banger. Back when they were doing weird jazz vocalese on the ABC Dunhill album, all the way through to the 80s craziness that you all, and as Ms. they do covers so well, will break your heart, will make you look it up, and it's like, oh, that's a Kenny Law. Oh, okay, that's who did that. Oh, okay, well, I just cried. they are the, and dating back earlier, weird jazz versions of jazz fusion songs that people, they are Mount Rushmore. They are fantastic. Please go by and listen to their albums. Their version is better. This one is sung on the Steely Dan album by a singer named David Palmer, who was short-lived. And if I'm honest, his best work was in writing the tune Jazz Man with Carole King.
Interesting. I just like that the Pointer Sisters version of this song, as you said, it's like wrenching more than it is accusatory. You know, it's kind of a bummer. Very heartfelt.
Do we have an NBA team that it embodies?
Well, I mean, the original has someone feeling sorry for themselves again. And boy, there's so many. See, I thought let's just look at the 30. I mean, oh boy, you don't want to talk about someone who paid that much money to. Now that seems a little rash to assign them with that sort of guilt. Oh, you know, maybe the Bucks. I mean, you got a couple of MSNBC types that are spending a lot of money, and they're sick of hearing that they're not going to pay for a title in their town. Well, look, we're gonna pay for 0.1% of this arena that's going to bring nothing to the downtown. And tell you what, we're going to pay all these draft picks to Jrue Holiday, and we might even find a way at the draft night to bring George Hill back probably again. Something along those lines. So maybe the Bucks. I don't know.
Katie, do you have a song, a team that sort of matches up to the Pointer Sisters edition of this song?
I thought Clippers because of Ballmer.
Ooh, shit.
If there's anybody doing dirty work and not doing it well, which I think in the song, you know, it's the person is a fumbler. So I feel like it fits Ballmer to me.
You can't sing and do dirty work at the same time. So you're going to be doing either the singing well improperly or the dirty work poorly. And, you know, as we've heard in both these recorded versions, they're hitting all the notes. The dirty work be suffering.
We move on to song number 4. Dylan, please fire it up.
But if you have a change of heart, Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want to call nobody else. Send it off in a letter to yourself.
Ricky, don't lose that number. Before we came on air, Katie noted that this was one of her favorite Steely Dan songs. Kelly, what NBA team embodies Ricky, don't lose that number?
A guy crying out for a beautiful woman to please pay attention to him. Please think that he knows better than her, and that he's the one for her life when she's clearly already made the decision a decision that to this day has held up, because both these people, this is one of the few Steely Dan songs where you can Wikipedia, I'm sure, and look up and see the maybe she might even have a blue link to her name, the actual Ricky. And it's a pretty literal lyric. Which is why Donald Fagen always had a hard time singing it live, because it's a pretty straight up the kilt love song. And boy, I mean, there's so many who's hoping and wishing and praying and wanting to. But you see, the problem is Steely Dan does desperation so well, and a lot of these teams don't. they just don't. It doesn't sound as good. So. Boy, you know, Portland seems nice because, you know, Dame sure seems to think that he's the best thing going. And when the guy shoots 8 out of 10 in the last 90 seconds of games or whatever it is, you know, maybe we should listen to him. Maybe. And ooh, a guitar solo. Maybe is Dame is right. He's got a guitar playing friend. Yeah. Let's say the Blazers.
Cool. Katie, do you have a thought on this one? One of your favorite Steely Dan songs?
I don't know that I said it was my favorite, because the tonal changes in the song usually make me uncomfortable, because it feels like when you are like in a car going down a steep incline and your stomach kind of like, that's what it does to my brain, because it happens and you're not anticipating it. Also, I will say songs about losing people's phone numbers. I do like the Phil Collins song, Don't Lose My Number, better than this one, because it's desperate, but it's like screaming desperate. The way that only Phil can do it. But I like the Blazers, if only because of the reason I gave, because I think there's more air pressure changes in Portland. So you probably would have physical responses to the weather. So I agree with that.
They're also a team that I think probably doesn't move on from people they don't want to let go of super well. Like, you know, there's the whole, like, they still were floating with, oh, do we bring LaMarcus back? Do we do it? Do we bring him back? Please come back, LaMarcus.
Yeah,
they have
like,
a that Rolodex. Was, I think, a sort of through line. Yeah.
They haven't lost anybody's number.
So I think that lines up lyrically.
In years.
Yeah. While everybody just drops theirs.
Those weird changes in the song were once a record reviewer called them Honky Tonk Woman to Hernando's Hideaway. And that kind of makes sense. They are, you know, it is a real like, you know, on the AM dial in the 70s, and you're doing every, you know, it Ricky does sort of feel that way instead of just sticking with the samba that they started with.
Yeah, it really takes you by surprise, which, like, kudos to them, keeps you interested in the song. But sometimes I'd like a little bit of warning.
We have one last song here. We'll fire it up here. Producer Dylan, it's on you. In the morning you go gunning for the man who stole your water, and you will fight till he is dawning, but they catch you at the border, and the mourners are all singing as they drag you by your feet, but the
I knew we'd get at some guitar amazing riffs.
Do it again. Our final Steely Dan track here. Kelly Dwyer, what NBA team most embodies Do It Again?
I want to say the Warriors, even though they're not the Lakers who won last year. I want to say the Warriors. They're flinging it up there. The Kerr's not going away from his offense. He paid no mind to Wiseman as any sort of pick and roll partner until it was too late. And, you know, I mean, we should say the Lakers, they're all throwing it all back against the wall, but that's, we've already written way too many songs about Los Angeles. Let's go with the Warriors.
Katie, do you have a thought here? It's hard to argue with Kelly's logic here.
It always is. But I think this one, I agree, because it's also like a more, to me, psychedelic sounding Steely Dan song. And I feel like that fits with San Francisco pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, just the microdosing rich boys who steal blood and the Chase Center.
But I mean, I was talking of previous generations, but sure, microdosing rich boys, okay. The current psychedelic masters of San Francisco.
whom Steely Dan mined for lyrical content several times down the road. And also, let me explain, as a Steely Dan guy, that the electric sitar solo in that song was done ironically, as was the cheap Yamaha Farfisa organ, in a way that far long predated Elvis Costello and the Attractions and their, you know, stiff knee. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just want to get that in. It's more than just a samba.
You have absolutely no reason to apologize. All the context is deeply appreciated. We move on now.
I got plenty of reasons.
We move on now to the way we close out every episode of the podcast. Our posters of the week, the best in NBA social media from the last week. I'll go first real quick. I'm just thankful to the Dallas Mavericks Twitter account for posting the Luka Doncic floater three-point buzzer beater from last night over and over again. And I've watched that roughly 40 times since it happened. It was fucking awesome. And it's a kind of a cop-out poster of the week, but it's mine because that shot was extremely cool. Kelly, who's your poster of the week?
It has to do with that. I'm not a big Twitter person, but I happened to hop on Twitter right when that shot happened, and just the glory of getting to see Dan Devine and like all these great posters in time that I usually don't get, talk me through this thing that I hadn't even seen yet because I had not seen this shot at the moment. It was fantastic. I you know, it's a terrible website, but moments like that are very, very, very cool. Right before Grandpa got up to pull up YouTube to see what Luka did.
Katie, you'll close it out the way you typically do. Who's your poster of the week?
Yeah, I'm deviating from Clay this week to Dwayne Wade's bathroom. Dwayne Wade is just like the right perfect amount of bored in retirement. Like, he's making wine. Yeah, he's got all that going on. But his bathroom, which he constantly posts pictures of him, like his fit pics in like a beautiful, I want to say like, I don't know, some kind of deep, rich wood full length mirror that then reflects the bathroom, which has like his and her deep sinks, deep soaking tub, beautiful concrete floors, like nice, like Moroccan throw rugs. It's just like a very well done bathroom that I'm sure they hired an interior designer to do for them. But the amount of times he's just in there with like Birkenstocks on, slides on, great fit to go nowhere in. I enjoy watching it because I'm like, this is a bathroom I would love. And also, I would like all these fits myself. And I just think he just seems so relaxed and very happy. And usually has a glass of wine in his hand. So I don't know. He's just like, is he an aunt now? Like maybe he's just someone's rich aunt, but I love it for him.
Excellent. That brings us to the end of today's show. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Where can people check out all of your wonderful work?
TSA.substack.com. I write about sports, basketball. Have a great time. I really do. I genuinely have the time of my life watching basketball games, and I write about them as often as I can.
Yeah. My favorite emails are yours.
Yeah. I will say I love getting them because most of the time they come overnight. So I'll wake up and I'll be reading them, and they're the kind of thing you can read. At least I do read still waking up and like waking up as I read them, and kind of, they're very like, they don't hit you over the head with anything, but you get all the facts, you get a little ambiance. It's perfect.
Yeah, they're meant to be on the train. They're meant to be just a quick, oh, we're waiting for the bathroom because your better half is in there, and I'm just going to do this first. It's just, yeah, it's stupid, silly sports, the way I love them.
Kelly, thanks so much. Hopefully we can have you back on again someday. It was an absolute blast. Katie, do you have anything that you want to plug?
No, not really, man. Oh, I'll plug my Substack. But I just feel like people already know about it. But Basketball Feelings. And I will say, the reason I moved Basketball Feelings to Substack was because of Kelly Dwyer encouraging me to do so.
There you go.
I just wanted her to write all the time so we could all read her all the time.
Thank you, Kelly, for your contributions to bringing Katie into the Substack world. Because, yeah, Basketball Feelings rocks. Everyone should read it. It's wonderful. Far better than anything I write. I don't really write a lot anymore. But Raptors HQ, if you want to check out some blogs sometimes. You also got Locked On Raptors, my podcast. Katie was on it today talking about the Raptors game against the Spurs last night. So that was fun. And that's about it. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. Please go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/abasketball2h's is the place to go to support us and support the show and get your access to those mailbag episodes that, again, we're just a couple weeks away from the next one. And they're a lot of fun. So get your questions in and all that good stuff. Huge thank you, as always, to our Space Monkey Media crew, from Polina, our social director, Clay, Sean, Michelle, Nick, the whole crew, and, of course, producer Dylan, firing the ones and twos with aplomb today and every day. We love Dylan. Makes us sound so great. And that's going to do it. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week with the 51st edition of Basketball 2H's.